This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
It hurts so bad.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The price of gasoline is starting to take over our lives. A poll out this morning asked people the country's number one concern. It wasn't the economy or healthcare or Iraq. It was gas prices. This Associated Press Yahoo poll has been following the same 2,000 people since last fall. And a lot of them said they're making dramatic changes to cope with the cost of gasoline. Cutting out vacations, restaurants, clothes, a lot of small luxuries as well. And there's no stopping the price of oil right now. This morning, it hit another new record above $143 a barrel. That doesn't bode well for Wall Street, which is already coming off a horrendous week with 4% losses. The Dow will probably hit bear market territory today. That's a 20% drop from its all-time high. The Dow is at 11,346, a long way from its peak above 14,000 in October. The NASDAQ is at 2315, off its worst week since February. The S&P 500 starts out at 1278. In Asia today, the markets closed a fraction lower. European shares are mixed so far. No matter how bad things seem here, the people of Zimbabwe have it worse. Robert Mugabe's been elected their president again. Kind of hard to lose when the other candidates drop out in fear of their lives. Today, leaders of other African countries are meeting to decide whether they should recognize Mugabe and to ask the question, how will economic sanctions affect Zimbabwe's people? Gretchen Wilson reports.
Robert Mugabe was quickly sworn in as Zimbabwe's president yesterday. In his inaugural speech, the 84-year-old incumbent called for dialogue with the opposition party.
Indeed, it is my hope that sooner rather than later, we shall, as diverse political parties, hold consultations.
The United States is beefing up economic sanctions against the country. These new measures will target Mugabe's entire government. The idea is to choke the country's mining industry, which is a key source of foreign currency. The ruling elite capitalizes on the country's mind-boggling inflation, using foreign exchange to generate its wealth. But some African human rights groups warn sanctions risk making conditions for average Zimbabweans even worse. The vast majority of Zimbabweans are now destitute, eating one meal a day. Not surprising when $6 billion can only buy one loaf of bread. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivent.com/retirement. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Now we continue our occasional series on how people are being affected by the credit crunch. Maybe you've noticed credit card rates have gone up and credit terms are getting tougher. I'm sure you've noticed if you use a credit card for business expenses and have to wait to get reimbursed. Kate Archer Kent of Red River Radio tells us one story from Texas.
The first thing to know about Phyllis Allen, she's a shoeaholic. At last count, she owned 150 pairs.
Oh, these were the last shoes I bought, and they are so gorgeous.
Phyllis finances her passion for footwear by selling ads in the AT&T Yellow Pages. She's paid a base rate of about $66 a day. The rest is all commission, and recently that commission has dwindled. When she landed her first outside sales gig in the mid-1990s, it included $96,000 in ad renewals. She says today's sales packages are about half that size.
It doesn't matter whether you're bringing back 10% or 100%. If you're getting a percentage of $96,000 versus $45,000, that's a big difference.
The Yellow Pages were already threatened by the internet. The credit crunch made things worse. Many small businesses simply can't afford to place ads anymore, or they let their contracts lapse. At first, Phyllis let some customers write post-dated checks, But when they failed to make good on their payments, she would have to return her commission, and that was the lion's share of her paycheck.
Depending on if it was a really good sale, a chargeback can be something that takes up to half of your pay.
She used her credit card to make ends meet during months when her commission fell flat. But then the card company started to raise its rates. And now Phyllis is really starting to feel the pinch.
I mean, you can go out and be as crazy as you want to. And American Express will say, oh, yeah, fine. But at the end of the month, American Express wants their money.
Credit card companies don't look as though they'll be lowering their rates anytime soon, and Phyllis's business isn't likely to pick up before she retires in 10 months. So she's reined in her spending, and she's learned the difference between needs and wants.
Actually, my needs are real simple, and I figured that they'll ratchet down even more when I retire.
She's committed to buying only basic necessities and maybe the occasional pair of pumps.
And so these are shoes that I like, big heels.
I'm Kate Archer-Kent for Marketplace.
Will it be strike two for Hollywood? The contract between the Screen Actors Guild and the studios expires tonight, and there's no resolution in sight. A major sticking point is how actors are paid when their work appears on the internet. Sounds a lot like what happened with the Writers Guild. Stacey Vanek-Smith has more.
Even without a contract, the Screen Actors Guild probably won't vote to strike, says Mark Lachter with business blog LA Observed.
Don't forget, the writer's strike took place when we weren't paying $5 a gallon for gas. The rank and file has to get a sense of whether the incremental gains that they might make through continued negotiations is really worth the effort.
If it is, the studios will be ready. Many have pushed production schedules ahead or put films on hold, and that's expensive, strike or no strike. Kevin Clowden is an economist with the Milken Institute.
And that can lead to increased costs as they have to keep people employed longer than they might otherwise. They might have to do additional edits or reshoots later. Those costs are creeping in even if the actors don't actually go on strike.
Clowden points out the writer's strike has already cost more than $2 billion. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.